Chapter 25, The End of the World, The Plague. The people who lived in the Middle Ages had to face one invading army after another, Muslims, Vikings, Crusaders, Mongols, Russians, and Turks. But the most dangerous enemy of all wasn't an army. It was a sickness that spread across the world and killed more people than all these armies put together. At first, strange stories began to come out of the distant parts of China. Travelers told about a mysterious illness that killed almost everyone who caught it. It began with terrible headaches and high fevers. The sick coughed, sneezed, and suffered from terrible pains in their arms and legs. Swollen lumps as large as baseballs appeared under their arms. Rumors said that 35 million people had died from this sickness. Soon the rumors became reality. People who lived near the Black Sea began to grow sick. In the villages and plains nearby, hundreds died. An old story tells us that the villagers blamed foreign merchants from Italy for bringing the sickness. They gathered into an army and drove the Italian merchants into the city of Kaffa at the edge of the Black Sea. The people of Kaffa and the Italian merchants barred the gates and fought back. So the attackers put the dead bodies of those who had died from the sickness into catapults and hurled them over the walls. Soon illness broke out in Kaffa as well. The Italian merchants panicked. They ran from Kaffa, boarded their ships, and sailed back home to Italy. But by the time they got there, almost everyone on board the ships was sick or dead. The people of Italy refused to let them come ashore. But despite this, the sickness soon appeared on land. It spread through Italy, up into Europe, across the sea to England, and down into North Africa. Millions of people died. No one could stop this sickness, which people called the Black Death. An Italian writer named Giovanni Boccaccio, who lived during the Black Death, describes it in his book, The Decameron. Here is a retelling of part of his story. Doctors were helpless. Most people who got sick died within 3 days. Anyone who came near the sick or touched their clothing became sick also. With my own eyes, I saw the clothes of a beggar who died of plague thrown out into the road. Two pigs came along and nosed at the clothes. Not an hour later, both pigs began to turn round and round, and then, just as if they had been poisoned, dropped dead in the road. Thousands of people grew sick every day, and there was no one left to take care of them. Many fell down in the streets and died where they lay. Bodies were everywhere. There were so many dead that there were not enough priests to bury them all. Many times a priest would begin to lead a funeral procession, and then would look behind him and find that 3 or 4 other coffins had fallen in behind him to join the burial service. And when the bodies arrived at the churchyards, they were thrown into huge trenches with hundreds of others, covered only with a thin layer of dirt. When the sickness came to the cities, many people shut themselves up in their houses and refused to come out. Others pretended that nothing was wrong and went about singing and eating and drinking and having parties at all hours. They wandered into any house they pleased and used it as their own, and no one cared because so many houses were left empty by the dead. Some carried with them, no matter where they went, flowers and scented herbs that they held to their noses. Others left the city and fled into the country. But many of these people fell sick as well. Farmers died, their crops lay ungathered in the fields, and their oxen and donkeys wandered free into the fields, glutting themselves with grain. Oh, how many lords and ladies died, leaving their rich houses empty! How many families perished, leaving not a single heir! How many brave men, beautiful women, and strong youths ate breakfast in the morning with their families and friends, and then that same evening ate supper with their ancestors in the world which is to come! And there were no tears, or candles, or mourners. So many died that soon no one paid any more attention to dead bodies of people than they did to the dead bodies of goats. Today, scientists know that the Black Death was an illness we call bubonic plague. The plague was an infection carried by fleas that lived on rats. When traders moved along the Silk Road from China back towards the Black Sea, the rats came with them, eating the grain they carried and hiding in their bales of cloth. The rats and the fleas ran through the countryside and into the city of Kaffa. When the Italian traders left Kaffa, the rats went with them in the cargo holds of their ships. And when the Italian ships arrived back in Italy, the rats ran down the anchor ropes onto shore, even though the six sailors stayed on board. From there, the fleas that carried the disease went from rat to rat all over Europe. Rats were everywhere in the Middle Ages. Cities threw their garbage and leftover food into the streets, so there was always plenty of food for them. And wherever the rats went, the Black Death went with them. But people of the Middle Ages didn't know that rats were spreading the disease. Some thought that the plague was the judgment of God. Others thought that it had been caused by earthquakes, evil spirits, or bad food. No one knew how to prevent it. They carried flowers and herbs with them, ate onions and garlic to keep sickness away, and slept on their stomachs instead of their backs so that sickness wouldn't settle down into their noses at night. But nothing helped. One medieval history tells us, so many died that all believed it was the end of the world. A new way of living. The Black Death raged for years. When the plague finally ended, a very different world was left. One out of every three people had died. Whole villages and towns were wiped out. Fields grew up full of tangles and weeds. Grain rotted before it could be harvested. Cows, sheep, and pigs wandered loose and turned wild, or died because there was no one to look after them. Noblemen who owned huge estates wanted their fields to be farmed again. But so many peasants had died that they couldn't find anyone to work on their land. One priest wrote, "So few servants and laborers were left that nobody knew where to turn for help." The following autumn it was not possible to get a harvester. Because of this, many crops were left to rot in the field. The peasants and farmers who were left alive found themselves in very high demand. Everyone wanted them. They no longer had to work for nothing on the land of rich farmers. Instead, they could demand to be paid higher wages. The noblemen who had to pay them grew poorer. Because they couldn't afford to pay workers to farm all their land, their huge estates grew smaller and smaller. The peasants and farmers grew a little bit richer and were able to buy land of their own. The feudal system, in which peasants worked for noblemen in exchange for land, began to fall apart. Many of the villages wiped out by the plague were never rebuilt. The survivors went to the cities instead. As more and more people left the countryside, the cities began to grow larger. So craftsmen, workers who could make wagon wheels, barrels, iron tools, cloth, and other goods, went to the cities as well, where they could sell their crafts to more people. Priests left with empty churches moved into the city also. We call this move out of the country and into the city urbanization. Urban is the Latin word for town or city, so urbanization means becoming citified. Back out in the country, hundreds of farms and houses were left empty. Some of the peasants who remained moved into these unclaimed houses and farmed the deserted land as their own. They took over their masters' beds, clothes, tools, and flocks, and there was no one to chase them out. They became the new owners of this land. In one city in Scandinavia, everyone died except for one little girl. She lived with the animals for years, until rescuers came along and discovered her. By then, she had forgotten what other people were like. She was afraid of them and preferred the animals. But the rescuers took her in and taught her to be human again. When she grew up, they gave her all the land in the whole town, since she was the only survivor. She and her family became the new noblemen of that city. Becoming a craftsman was easier, too. Before the Black Death, anyone who wanted to follow a special trade such as weaving, wagon building, carpentry, or ironwork had to be an apprentice or student for many years. But after the plague, few craftsmen were left. Wagon wheels, iron tools, and blankets were soon in short supply. So the length of time that an apprentice had to study before setting up his shop became much shorter. The Black Death even changed the land itself. Before the plague, forests all over Europe had been cut down and the land turned into fields. But now, with so few farmers left, the trees began to grow back. Forests sprang up all over Europe. 70 years after the Black Death ended, the woods had grown up so close to the borders of the huge city of Paris that wolves skulked along the city's edge. And 150 years after the plague, huge, dense woods covered mile after mile where farmland and villages had once stood. The Black Death is long past, but it left its traces all over the people and the land of the Middle Ages. And today, we still have at least one reminder of the plague with us. Have you ever heard this nursery rhyme? Ring around a rosy, a pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Many historians think that this nursery rhyme got its start in the days of the Black Death. Ring around a rosy describes the red rash that broke out on sick people. A pocket full of posies is the bouquet of flowers and herbs that many people carried to keep sickness away. Today we say ashes, ashes, but in the oldest version of this rhyme, the third line goes, atishu, atishu, the sound of an ill person sneezing. And all fall down reminds us that most people who caught the plague died.